G'day everyone, welcome to today's show and today's guest, we've got John Walls back and we've also got Terry Keelor, or Keelor, how do I pronounce your last name? I'm trying to get that.
Yeah. Keelor.
Keelor. Thank you there for coming on, Terry.
There was a very infamous woman called Christine Keelor that kind of shook up the British politics there by, she was a bit of a call girl and so... That kind of made the name rather famous, but no relation.
Well, just so the audience knows, that there's just a little bit of background noise on their end. It's just a computer. We're making do as we do with these shows the best that we can. I appreciate you both coming on. Now, we've had John on a few times. You've got a lot of activity going for the show, or for the shows that you've done. Lots of feedback. So, you know, you've rustled a few feathers in a good way. You've opened up people's minds. You've brought different aspects through, which is what I want to do. I want to bring a format for experiences and those worldwide that haven't got other formats and, you know, just get information out and people can do with it what they may. In saying that, you two have been working together on and off and Terry did a book, which is available at the link below the video, which I'll put up. And it's on... the regression information that you've got through John through a band called Armistice. Would you mind telling us a little bit about yourself, Terry, and how you two got hooked up, and we'll sort of take it from there.
Sure, Pete. Yeah, so my background is I've got a bachelor and master's of electrical engineering. So I started out as a professional electrical engineer and then moved into IT and had worked in the IT field for about 40 years. And I still teach IT and business part-time. And quite a number of years ago, I got interested in hypnotherapy. And it really started off with my 8-year-old daughter one night. We were watching a show on hypnosis and she said at bedtime, I was reading her story, she said, "Dad, will you hypnotize me?" And So I said, "Oh, I don't know how to do that, dear." And she was quite insistent. And it kind of tells you something about your children, because our children are much closer to what you call spiritual realm than we are. And so so in some respects, she's asking me a question, you know, that really isn't coming from her, but it's probably coming through her. And anyway, so I, to humor her, I said, "Okay, your eyes are getting sleepy," that sort of thing. And she dropped off, and so I said, "Can you hear me?" And she's with her eyes closed. She said, "Yeah, yes, I can hear you." And so I thought, So I said, "Okay, well, I checked out. Thought I'd stick my head out the door, check my wife was downstairs, because I knew I'd be in trouble, mucking around with my kid's brain. So anyway, the long and short was I just regressed her back to different birthdays. So when she was 6 and when she was 3, and she recalled what, you know, who was there, what, you know, food they were eating, what presents she got, clothes, things like that. And then I said, "I want you to go back to when you were 6 in a previous life." And she described having a younger brother and living in this very sort of hot, arid country, sort of like Morocco, northern Morocco. And she'd never been out in New Zealand. And we'd never talked about, I've been to Morocco, but she knew nothing about that. And so then she, as she said, she talked about this younger brother. And then I took her forward to when she was 8, and she had a different name for the brother. And I said, "Oh, you called him this other name before." And she said, "Oh," and she laughed and she said, "Oh, that was his baby name. This is the name we call him now." And so she, her actual perception changed as her age changed. And I said, "Do you go to school?" And she said, "No, we're much too poor." And then I took her forward to when she was 9. And she, I said, "What can you see?" And she said, "Nothing." And I said, "You know, what happened in your 8th year?" And she said, "I got sick and died." And I really felt sad, you know. And now she's 40, just turned 40 this year. And she said she actually remembers that quite vividly. And she always kind of thought it was a dream, you know, for years afterwards. And interesting thing is, in that life, she was denied the ability to go to school because she was too poor. But in this life, she's become a teacher, a very effective one. And always right from the very earliest day, she you know, she was lining up her kids and teaching them school and everything when she was about, you know, 7 or 8. And so she was always going to be a teacher. And it kind of gives you a perspective of who we think we are and who we really are. You know, we are really something much greater than we think we are. I mean, we think of ourselves as just this personality in this point in time. But the truth is, our third dimensional personality that we're working through is just a small aspect of our greater, say, fourth dimensional soul or spirit self. And that gives you a bit of a framework about what happens when people are connecting or trancing to other, either connecting to their higher self or connecting to other entities or other energy sources of intelligence or whatever. And you realize that the actual, you know, the barrier between us being here and connecting to these other higher aspects of ourselves is really, you know, it's very thin. And by using hypnosis, it's actually very easy to make that connection and connect through that. And our awareness, just as my, you know, daughter talking about herself, you know, as an 8-year-old in a previous life, there's a part of her saying, I got sick and died. I mean, it was a part of her that wasn't even that personality in that previous life. It was a part that was aware of what was happening in that whole process.
That's interesting. So you basically got into this just through mucking around, and then all of a sudden there was something to this, which is how sort of this works sometimes.
Yeah, well, I mean, when it's the right time for you to do things, you know, basically what was happening was, you know, the guys upstairs are saying, your guides are saying, hey, it's time that, you know, you've been reading about these things, you know, as a typical academic, I would have read 400 books on meditation before I actually did anything about it. And it was really a bad case of hemorrhoids that made me realize I better try do some meditation for healing, and discovered, you know, through trial and error that it actually did work. So
there's other methods out there. Yeah.
It's the accidents in life that lead us to, you know, to opening up our door. I mean, John's accident when he was 15 or 16 opened up doors of his perception.
So how did you two find each other? How did this relationship start between you two?
Well, I was at a spiritual group center, I had my cards there and everything like that, and John picked up one of the cards, and I don't know whether I'd spoken a bit.
No, you stand next to me and I picked up.
Oh, yeah.
You just put them down, I think.
That's right. I must have just put them out. And he said, oh, you're a hypnotherapist. He said, have you ever done anything with lost time? And I had read a few books, you know, UFO books and stuff like that. And I'd also, when I was about in high school, 17, I had a friend that started telling me this experience that he had when a couple of years before, when he was in Eastern Canada, and he had moved out with his family later. And he said, I was coming home from a party at 10:30 at night, and he said, the next thing I know, I'm in a spaceship and I'm being shown around. And he said, the next thing I realize, I'm walking home and I've lost an hour, and it's 11:30. And he said, then about a year later, their family moved out to Western Canada, and he was caught in a rainstorm in this petrol station, and he was just sheltering there, and there was a guy also sheltering from the rain beside him, and he started talking about this experience and of the ship and everything, and he said he got so freaked out he just took to his heels and ran as fast as he could home. and you know, this is about 6 months later or whatever, and that was where he was telling me the story. Now, I knew the guy well enough that, one, he wasn't telling stories. I mean, he didn't want anybody else to know about it. And I thought, well, what do you do with that kind of information? You know, 17 or 18 at the time. So I just kind of set that aside and said, oh, that's interesting. But so when John comes along and says, hey, I do anything with lost time, I knew what he was, you know, alluding to. And so I said, oh, yeah, well, you come along. Yeah, come along and see me, and I won't charge you. We'll just see what happens. So he did, and when he came along, we just started doing the deepening process, and his voice changed and, you know, kind of became a little bit deeper and more resonant. And I said, oh, okay. And I've been involved in groups with trans mediums before and everything. So, you know, you get to recognize the sign that there's some other intelligence or energy that's there. And so I said, so who are we speaking to? And John had mentioned that he had been told by a medium, quite a well-known medium around the area, that he had a guide, an ET guide named Armistice. So anyway, so this, you know, so the voice came through and said, this is Armistice. And I thought, oh, okay. So commenced the dialogue and ultimately resulting in me writing the book, and it was called Conversations with Armistice, because it was kind of a dialogue between myself and Armistice, and at times John's consciousness would come through as well, because the way, when you're working with another entity, their energy levels or energy bodies are very different than the physical medium, and so it's tough to align those. It's quite a strain on the medium. And what they do is, if the knowledge is in John's awareness, they let John speak from his own consciousness. If it's something that he's not really aware of, or, you know, then they will come through and directly cover that aspect of it as well.
I don't even remember the parts that I'm not, I denying that, that he lets me bring it. And then we're scared back into fluffy.
Are you able to talk up just a little bit more, John? We just can't seem to hear you as loud as our Terry.
No, that's fine. I'm probably speaking a bit soft. That's the only time that I can remember when Terry puts me under, is if I actually come through as, you know, with something I know that Armistice has given me beforehand.
Yep.
Yeah.
Awesome. Well, today what's going to happen is there's going to be a regression done during the show, which is the first for me anyway, having a regression done on here. I've had regressions done myself, and those can be seen. You've had... how many regressions have you had done now, John?
Yeah, I think we've had about 10 overall. About, I think, 8 or 9 are covered in the book. After we'd done about 3, I wrote the transcripts for them, and it turned out that 2020 group were trying to contact UFO groups around New Zealand looking for people that had contact experience. And so I sent them a copy of the transcript, and then they decided that they would like to come down and interview John. So that was on a Thursday night, and they said we'd like to come down Monday night. And so when my wife came home, I said, oh, we're going to have some visitors, dear. And she looked at me very suspiciously and said, who? And I said, oh, 2020, want to come down and interview John and on Monday. And she said, look, she wasn't happy. She said, look, it's enough you have these crazy people come in the house without everybody in New Zealand knowing about it. So, and we were going to a wedding in Taupo, it's about 80 miles away from here, on the weekend. And I mentioned it to a friend there that she was quite psychic. I thought she'd be a little open to it. And then she, of course, then it went around like Chinese whispers, and everybody was telling me, hey, you must be crazy, you know, because the media can do anything they like with the information they get. And generally they like to, you know, make you look like an idiot. So, but actually it went to air. And fortunately for us, there were even crazier people on the show, so we looked relatively safe. So, but the guys afterwards, the crew, you know, they said, well, either this guy deserves an Academy Award or something really happened. Mm-hmm. And that's because I regressed him to the contact experience when he was 3. And I, from his own perspective of a 3-year-old, and that's pretty frightening for a 3-year-old to see bugs coming in the window. And that's the one that most people, about almost 400,000 now, have looked at that video, or more, I guess, if you look at where all the different places.
It's been mirrored many times. So I found in 20 minutes of looking, I found over 1 million views in different mirrored sites.
Yep. Yeah.
And it starts out from him seeing it the perspective of a 3-year-old and having this abduction thing happening, and his brother was also being abducted. And that's the interesting phenomenon, is that it seems to be usually the whole family that is involved in this. And there's some sort of genetic marking that you know, kind of singles out certain people for, and certain families for, being part of this contact experience. And you know, the difficult thing, I guess, in anything like this is how do you determine what's really coming from another source and what's coming from the person's own psyche. And the truth of the matter is, you don't know. I mean, you can be walking down the beach and you know, I've had a situation, my wife starts talking, and I think, oh, I was thinking about that 2 minutes ago. Did she pick up on my thoughts? Did I pick up on her thoughts? Mm-hmm. Did we pick up on thoughts from somewhere else? You don't really know, because we are just energy. So, and thoughts travel. You go in a room and you look at somebody across the room, nice looking woman, and next thing you know, she turns around because she can sense somebody's looking at her, right? She's actually sensing, and everybody's had that experience where you sense somebody's looking at you. So, I mean, that shows you how our energy projects even across the room.
Definitely. Well, so, if you want, what would be cool, and if you're up for it, John, is we could go into the regression soon, because we're about 17 minutes into the show. Go for as long as you want, and then we could sort of wrap it up with, you know, a 10-20 minute talk, whatever, what time we got left to sort of, you know, sort of get everyone's thoughts on what just happened, if you're all okay with that.
Before we do it, because Terry's got this really great knack of bringing through ETs from people who have had experiences.
Yep.
I just wanted to talk a little bit about where he's gone from me. Like John, yep. You know?
Oh, yeah. We'll just take 2 seconds. But there have been probably at least 5 or 6 other people that, in fact, probably more, about 10 other people, not that I specialize in that area, but that have, you know, connected and either channeled guides or connected to their own life experiences where in previous lifetimes they've actually, you know, they had lived in other, you know, planetary systems. In fact, most of the people, it would appear, that have had, that I've come across, that have had contact experience, in many respects have actually incarnated on other systems and have chosen to come through into this planetary area and to help with our shift of consciousness and that sort of thing, and certainly Dolores Cannon and people like that have written at great length about that sort of thing.
Very much so, extensively so, and Mary Rodwell too, who's a great friend of both John's and mine, and she'll have another book out soon, so that will be interesting to go into. But you're exactly right, and it's got to do with this shift in consciousness at the time, which is now, and also that, you know, we're living multiple lives at the same time. It's not just one thing, one life or past life. You work out this interconnectedness of everything happening simultaneously, so it's something that where people have to be eased into if you're programmed with the normal education, and like we were talking about before the show, it's just breaking down your preconceived notion, accepting that we just, like Mary says all the time, we don't know what we don't know.
Yeah, that's the thing, is you just have to be open to all possibilities. Mm-hmm. And just weigh up, a good scientist weighs up the circumstantial evidence and say, does that point in that direction?
Yeah. Definitely.
I've had one person that connected to what I thought was their higher self, or, you know, and she said, well, and this particular personality, she said, is only 1 of 8 that I have going concurrently. and she brought through a lot of information about her father's health and things like that. That, you know, there was a lot of validity, that, you know, information that came through. But so it just showed you that, you know, this one personality is just part of a lot of things that can be happening.
Yeah, definitely. Well, when we get started, if we can get started now, if we can get that mic a bit closer to to John, just for the reason of also, oh, you've got it pretty close there. Yeah, I could just hardly hear you again before, so.
Out of my voice box.
Yeah. Oh, sweet, sweet. Awesome. So I'll let you guys do whatever you do, and just do what you do.
Okay, yeah. Okay, so we'll just get John to just relax now. And just drop him down. Put yourself going down those stairs. I'm going to take your hand, John. As I drop your hand, just allow yourself drop right down to that level. Very deep level. You need to connect to your eyes. Just drop him just go deeper. And taking yourself right down. Right down to that. You need to deep level. You need to once a person's, you know, done regressions and stuff like that, you know, their body subconscious knows, you know, knows the journey. So, so they can take themselves down pretty deeply. So I'm not usually into this technique of snapping fingers and everything like that. But basically, John will be just taking himself right down, just allowing his consciousness to step aside and let Armistice to come through. And so when Armistice, when he is ready and comes through, he'll just come through and we'll welcome him here. And usually he just says a few words to say he's here. Yeah. While John's taking himself down deeper and deeper, come through.
Sorry everyone, we've had a little bit of interruption with electronics, but Armistice, please go.
There are beings lesser than us. No one is lesser than any other, lower vibrational than us, that are the gardeners. We plant the seeds. The gardeners do the work all the way down to human gardeners and human teachers. We have planted the seeds. We have given you the vibration to grow, and you are being nurtured, but you will only wait when you reach the climactic edge of the vibration, which will raise your awareness in a very short period of time. Time is not what you think. You are not what you think. You are energetic beings who have a place in this great puzzle. You are a link that is missing from the great plan. You are the ones you have been waiting for. You have infinite energy. There are weeds in the garden that need to be plucked. Once them weeds are plucked, there will be a bright new day for all humanity, all of Earth's creatures to rejoice with. There are teachers, there are many. I'm talking to one right now. The energy is beautiful. It is so majesty, your energy. You are a true, true great teacher.
Is there any information that for John's consciousness in this realm, which I guess would be a lower part or a different vibration of yourself, is there any information that John needs to know at this time for himself?
Yeah, working with John. John has many blocks in his field that have been put there by those weeds on the planet at a very young age, and he needs to work with us better and meditate more so we can release those blocks. We're winning, but this needs to be done faster. There will come a time when man must choose, must pick his side. That time is near, and John needs to be ready. And at this rate, he may not be.
When you refer to weeds, would you be talking about those of a self-serving nature, those referred to as archonic in nature?
Yes. Yes, those who control the soulless, those who animate the soulless, those who hide in the shadows. Their time is nearly up. They're in their death throes, and as they fall, they will take as many as they can with them. But the universe wastes nothing. Your bubble, your dimension, every dimension, no matter where, what, why, how, wastes nothing. It is all recycled. And if it's not your time, you will have another chance sometime.
Is there any more you can say on the true nature of what we understand to be time, though non-existent, with time and our reality and who we are? Is there anything you can elaborate more on in terms of that?
Time is a side effect, unavoidable, of a toroidal field. That is all it is. Humans have put too much emphasis on this time. Time is infinite. We, all, us, all the way down to the flora, the fauna, is all infinite. There is no time. It is just the effect of being inside the toroidal field.
And does that have an electromagnetic component?
Yes. Time cannot exist without the electromagnetic component. There is no time. That is where we need to be. That is where you will be.
So if we understood this, could we go back and forth even though time isn't inexistent? Could we manipulate where we are in terms of future, past and present?
You live in future, past and present right now. You oscillate so fast that you can live hundreds of thousands of lives in one lifetime and only realize the lifetime that you pick. at that specific point. There is no time. A person's whole life is gone in the blink. And then they go to the next, and to the next. And each one is a blink. It's a millionth of a second. It's your numbers are crude. Your ways are crude. But you have the potential to learn, and you have the soul spark, you have God spark, you have what very, very few races throughout the eons and throughout the vastness of the eternal have ever had. And there is a chance, a very small chance, that it will be wasted and have to be done again. But we have faith. Many have woken. There are many who still wait. But it is almost what you would call the tipping point. You will make it, I'm sure. I have faith in humanity. No matter how dark it looks on the outside, the inside is where one must look.
Is there any is there any probabilities or things we need to be aware of in terms of earth changes or things that governments may try and betray or anything that you could tell us?
Yes, there are warnings. The warning is, in this next time period, anything that happens here on your little planet all done by you. All celestial interference has been taken away. Even the weeds, the archons, the dark ones have all been, we would call, nullified. Now it is up to you to see what you do with what you have all by yourself. This is your hour. Do not waste it. Please. You will make it, I'm sure.
Are you able to tell the people at all anything about yourself in terms of in your realm, how you look? What your place is like in terms of your realm? Is there stars or planets, or is it completely something we can't reference?
Mostly unreference. I do have form, be it very, very, very light. I have a form that I turn up the volume, the density on when I talk to John and download to John as a wise old man. My real form is very similar to your holy painting. We are winged. We manifest what we need. When we do not need it anymore, it demanifests. Can you understand?
Yes.
Yes. When we need it, we need a ship for a civilization's eyes to look at us as a space-faring race. We manifest that nuts and bolts or Merkaba style ship. When it is not needed anymore, it simply vanishes. This is where you are going. This is where you have the chance to be. We remember. Far, far, far back. Your earth is a living being. Your whole solar system, your whole galaxy, your whole universe is a living entity. Your solar system alone has been here trillions of years. Your scientists know this. Your civilization has been here at least a trillion years in the form you are now and greater. Your scientists and archaeologists know this. Dig deep, it is there for you to know. Turn off your TV. They are the biggest block that you will ever have. Turn off your propaganda. Do not let them defeat your spirit. Because this is your hour. This is not a judgment. No one is going to judge you but you. You are the only judge. You are judge, jury, and executioner of yourself. Go within. The only way is within, and others without will come to you. There are many of us out there waiting to welcome you back home. And if it happens the way it's supposed to, there will be no death. The transition will be just like walking through a door.
For those who are watching, they're probably wanting to me to ask something like this, though I've got an idea. Would you be able to explain, or do you know why we are here?
We are here to fix an error that started at the start of everything. We are here to remove and patch that which was not supposed to be. We are here to be us. We are here to be sovereign. We are here to be human. We are here because we are love, and love is all that matters. We are here because we need experience to fix the whole. We have been here for over a trillion years because we are fixing the whole. We are fixing the tear. We are fixing the miscalculation of the first creation.
So this is multi-layered.
Yes, this is multi-layered. You are the one. You. John could play it better, so I just let John, I just tell you what. Now, it is all up to you.
Just a few more questions. Again, this is something people would be asking. Do you know how we were created? Not just the humanity, but how we as a whole were created? Or is this still something that you yourself are trying to understand?
We have traced back far, far, far beyond the first one, when there was nothing and everything. This is harmony. and that goes back far, far beyond any comprehension of anything that even we comprehend. It is always higher. It is infinite.
How many, not, I guess it would be hard to put a number on, but are there many, many, many races from many planes helping us at this time behind the scenes?
Over a million. Millions. What we are witnessing here and why we are watching and why we have our workers tending the garden so hard is we are seeing the blossoming of a beautiful flower that is going to help bring the multiverses, the vibration back into order. You are the puzzle piece. And there are others out there that don't want this puzzle piece to flower. There comes a time, there are many, many, many on your world that have been put there. You know, the local Star Children, Indigo, Starseed, they are here to anchor so the plant can flower. Once the plant flowers, the veil will lift. Once the veil lifts, you will know it all. Until then, only those that are supposed to know will know the whole story. If you are supposed to know the whole story, you will look and you will search. For the whole story will only be given to those who look and search. You must find the truth within yourself before the truth from without will come in. Does this make sense?
What can people do at this time for themselves to help with this puzzle being put together?
Move from a state of fear into a state of love. Move from the secondary to the first. Fear is the secondary. Love is the first. Love your family. Love your life. Let your family love you. Let your life love you. Let petty squabbles go. Let border disputes go. Drop your guns and go home. Don't play into the negative thought form, the electronic negative thought form that is plaguing your world. Let the love shine and then suck it back in. This is all you need to do, is love. Love is everything. In this vibration, love is everything.
Terry, do you have anything to ask, mate?
I'll probably just a comment at this time. And what I find is, because love's a word that everybody, it's a loaded word. Everybody uses it all the time for many different things. And one of the easiest ways I find with my clients is work with the idea of acceptance. And starting with self-acceptance, you know, that just accepting who you are for what you are, and realize that, you know, and leaving the past behind, realizing it in the past, you've done the best you could, you know, so that's it. You can't do any better than that, and it's past. So you have to just accept yourself. And then that opens up for you to be able to accept others. And so many people condemn others because they don't accept themselves. And, you know, they don't love themselves, and therefore they, you know, and there was some beautiful show we watched the other night on a while back on 2020 about Bruce Jenner. He was the American decathlon Olympic medalist, part of the Kardashian group, you know, and not that I've ever watched the Kardashians, but he's 63 or something like that, and he's come out and he's transgender, and now, and he's also a Republican, and you know, and imagine a Republican transgender person in America. Well, I mean, he said he felt that that was his life. He said he thought felt that he that was his life purpose, was really to get to this point in his life and actually admit and be honest and accept himself as the person he was. And he couldn't even really explain why, you know, he was still heterosexual in his you know, his attractions and stuff like that, but he just felt like a woman all his life. Now, I mean, it seems like a really weird thing to say, but it's an indication where you get somebody that was, you know, kind of, he was held up as kind of Mr. America. He won the decathlon at a time, you know, when Russia and America were competing in the Montreal Olympics, and he beat the Russian to be, you know, and so he was a great hero to the Americans. And here's this guy becoming, admitting he's transgender, you know, and it just shows you that we're shifting our consciousness so that we can accept people for who they are, you know. And he you know, they interviewed his family, and he was a really loving father with about 10 children, and that's who he was. He was demonstrating, he demonstrated love right throughout his life. The only thing is he was afraid to actually accept who he really was and admit to who he really was, because he thought, one, it would hurt his family, and two, he wanted to please other people. Mm-hmm. So really, it's about now realizing that you need to start
with yourself.
Who we are, we're so much greater than what we think we are.
We are far greater than the sum of our physical parts. We are the light. We are the God star. We are the missing link in the multiverse. We are the ones the multiverse has been waiting for, not just us. We are the ones the multiverse has been waiting for. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, it does. Is there anything you would like to say to Terry or to myself or to the viewers before we ask for John to come back to the body?
John is ready for new downloads, and he's been receiving the new ones well. He is interacting with us very beautifully. He has come through about 4 times today all by himself without me prompting him, so he is coming a long time. But you need to work with him more. That's all. We need to fix his blocks. Once they are fixed, his whole world will be changed. He will see a whole different range of vibration that not many in this world can actually see. You have glimpses, Peter. You have glimpses of these worlds.
How can John fix these blocks for himself? Is it just a time issue where the time's sort of right, though yes. Non-existence?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. It's all about meditation and believing and letting us in to do our work.
So there needs to be more of an acceptance on John's level and a maybe not even believing, but knowing this is real and accepting it, and just knowing this is all happening and accepting that?
John still has one block that is etheric, that is proven to be quite stubborn, even for us. It's melded with his DNA, and we cannot pull it off quickly or it will expire his skin suit. We are working gently, but for every four we pull off, one reattaches, two reattaches. So we try different ways, and through the work of another and his partner, we are working on a part of him called telomeres that seems to be proving to be effective. But once this implant is gone, his world will change like no other.
Okay, well, is there anything else you'd like to relay, or is it okay if we bring John back to this realm now?
John is very, very tired. John is tired. He's very tired.
Thank you, Armistice, for being with us.
Thank you.
And we just want you now, just John, just to return slowly to your own energy levels. Just taking some healing. Taking some healing with you at this point, bring your energy levels down to balance. A moment, just the slow count to five, just bring you back, feeling like every cell tissue of your body is recharged, revitalized. Your eyes feel like you've been bathed in a cool, clear stream. Your normal energy levels are returning. Your normal thinking patterns are returning, allowing your whole physical being just to come back into balance, being with us. Welcome in there on the physical, being back to us.
Oh, Jesus Christ, I hate that.
Come back to the body. I know what it's like. At least I can say that. I do know what it's like.
Oh, man.
You all right, well, buddy?
Yeah. This last time I was on the floor, we had a real long one. We had put me on the floor. I could knock up and down for about 5 minutes. Really down me again. But this one went too bad. I remember a little bit of this one. This is probably the most I remember out of all of them so far. I remember bits and pieces about talking about energies and nuts gone.
There was about 4 minutes at the start. It cut out, and then I rang you back. Like as soon as you went under, it cut out the internet.
Oh, they do that. They play with us when we do this.
And then we went into it. And I pressed record, but for 4 minutes, for some reason, it didn't record. Then I pressed record again, and that's what we got. But it was basically just saying something about who I am and myself. And then I asked you, what would you like to relay to the people? And we basically started from there again anyway. So that was just an electronic problem that we just couldn't help viewers and people and to you as well. Thank you for doing that, John. How do you feel, mate? It just takes a little bit to come back to body, doesn't it?
Yeah, I'll be right in 15 minutes or so.
Yeah.
It takes me about 15 minutes to come back to reality. Everything's a bit... I'm inside my body, but I'm outside my body at the same time.
Oh, yeah, I know, yeah.
I feel like I've been hit by a baseball bat in the head without the pain, you know?
Yeah, I know, yeah.
and when I come out, there's this like electric, it's pain, but it's not pain, like through your whole body. It's like your soul coming back in, you know, your spirit coming back into your body, and it's crying not to do it, eh? Like, it's like I go out of body a lot, like a real lot, and the only person I know that can do it better than me, like that I actually know, and there's the others that can do it way better, is my son, my oldest son. He's like really good at it. when you come back into your body, it's not the nicest feeling. It can be quite a little bit of like electric shock without the pain. Same as going out. But it's like that, times it by about 1,000. Yeah.
You feel limited too. I know the last regression I did, I bawled my eyes out because I slammed back in.
Yeah, slam back in is really hard as well. Yeah, I came in quite easy that time. But yeah, it's like being put back into a 4x4 cell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you're out in this infinite, and then all of a sudden you're getting thrown back into this 4x4 cell. That, you know, like, I remembered quite a bit when I first woke up. Now the last thing I can remember is Terry putting me under.
Mm-hmm. All right.
That was it. It lasts a couple of minutes.
Yeah.
You know, it's your, a lot of this do the vibrational energy. You know, we got sort of four dominant levels of thinking, and which we'd call the lowest being 1 to 4 cycles, delta level. Then a light sleep, dreaming sleep is theta, 4 to 7. And then the next one is the alpha state, which people, most people are aware of, that do meditation and stuff. That's 7 to 13. So when you come out of that, you know, when you, all you're doing with hypnosis is slowing down that brain frequency to a level where you're just about dropping off to sleep. Or in John's case, where you lose conscious awareness, you're getting into that theta state. So when you come back, it's just like, you know, if you wake up and you're just drifting along, that's when you're still in that kind of alpha state, and you often remember your dreams. But then after a while, your brain kicks up to that beta state, 13 to 30 cycles a second, where we normally processing and thinking.
Nice, okay.
And you, so you, your connection to your subconscious and your higher self then is diminished. So so that's what happens when he comes out of that. He's still running at that low alpha, and he can remember all that stuff. And it's like most people, if I asked you what, you know, to go back and tell me about your second birthday, you'd say, oh, I can't remember that. But under hypnosis, if you get relaxed down to that level, your memories are kind of state dependent. So you can actually remember that information and pull through, you know, even down to intrautero and, you know, what was happening in the womb, that type of thing. Yeah. So we have a level of awareness that's much greater. And you can access those. But I mean, that's really what ascension consciousness is really about, us opening up to these other levels of awareness at, you know, all the time. Mm-hmm. You know, so I mean, an ascended master would be able to, he would have recall of all his lifetimes. He would, you know, and all the information that's related to that. And I guess he would have, like, but like, well, most of us are like computers. But we're, you know, we're not like a computer connected to the internet. We're just kind of thinking we're our own little consciousness in itself. What's happening now is we are now starting to connect through the internet of humanity. Mm-hmm. And
that's where it's going.
When we get to that point, I mean, once you understand and you can, you know what other people are thinking, it's going to moderate how you behave.
Yeah, definitely. You're an open book.
They laugh at the way we communicate. Yeah. They laugh. They there are races out there, and like as Armistice has said, you know, he looks when he first looks at us as a human race, he sees this animal that just wants to kill, crush, and, you know, kill its neighbor and do all this undespicable stuff, and then he moves into closer to the family, and he sees the loving of the family, and then he sees into the soul, and he sees what our soul can actually do and how it's been manipulated by these dark forces, and then he pulls back out and sees why we're killing, why we're doing this, why we're raping, why we're maiming, why we're killing our mother, like, you know, Mother Earth. Mm-hmm. It's because we have been manipulated and we do have a flaw. And this flaw is what needs to be fixed, I think, before we're allowed to go and play our part in the bigger picture of things in the universe, as you know, like through the UPs you've been in contact with, and I'll bet they're saying pretty much something similar.
Yeah, very similar. With Armistice, when getting him, it, whatever, to describe itself, there was a bit of problem with the audio, but it's good enough that people can hear and you can make out, but there were certain points. Was I correct in understanding that it may be some type of angelic type being?
Yeah. That's what I see it as. Yeah. But it's part of me.
Yeah, we've exactly. I know.
This is what I think one part I was trying to get through there, if I'm, you know, like my memory's all muddled, but we all have one. Mm-hmm. We all are one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then them angelic beings all turn into one being. Do you know what I mean?
I know.
We're all
one.
Yeah. And every one of us has an armistice. You know what I mean?
So your guardian angel is most likely you.
Yeah. Your guardian angel is you.
Yeah. It's just, you've got to go through a hell of a lot of experience and research to, like, look at what we've gone through to find this out.
Just to find this out, I've been to hell and back three times.
Yeah.
Basically, you know? And now I'm reaping the fruits of my rewards, basically, that I know.
Yeah.
But that's because I, and you, and people like Kerry, right, are truth seekers. And my motto is the truth, no matter how much it hurts. Mm-hmm. I don't care if it kills me. I want the truth. Because that's what I was put here for. I was put here for the truth. Yeah, everyone lies and tells white lies. Yeah, I spill the cigarette, so I didn't spill it. But it's the big things that matter, you know, at the end of the day. Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah, I mean, I think you find that also the people that tend to be messengers, they often come from a position where, they rarely have PhDs.
Yeah.
One, because the more you study in a linear fashion, the more, you know, you're using that right brain, or you're using that left brain.
Blocking that right out, yeah.
Sequential type thinking rather than the intuitive
it
side.
It keeps you in fight and flight.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the other one is that, if you come from reasonably humble beginnings, I think, you know, you can't go too far because everybody will say, oh, that's his ego speaking. And, you know, so it's, but it really, you know, ultimately always comes back to the people themselves. Anything we have to say has to be about, you know, almost all the work I do with my people that come to me for hypnotherapy, it's about them connecting to their own inner resources. Connecting to inner guides, and healing energies, and realizing that we are connected. We're never alone. We are never, you know, and everything that's happening has a reason for it happening.
Just a quick question too, Terry. How could people get in contact with you if they wanted a regression in your neck of the woods? Is there an email, a website, or anything people can get in contact with you?
Yeah, my website is www.empower-u.net. That's empower-u.net. And or they can look up my name, Terry Keeler, KEILLOR. Just Google that. You'll find connections to my website and to the books I've written. So I've written three books. One was really an earlier book called Armageddon, or Eden, you know, it's our choice. Mm-hmm. And then it was the one about conversations with Armistice. And the last one I wrote was one about ascension consciousness. And I particularly was interested in the process of what's happening with our planet, the cycles we've gone through, what are levels of consciousness. So I mean, when Armistice talks about ninth level of consciousness or ninth level of vibration, bringing some of the models that, you know, in these cases, there are models that have been developed by others, but that are consistent with everything that Armistice said. And you can understand, gives you an idea of just how we evolve through different levels of vibration and understanding. So the one that we're moving to is the fifth dimensional one, which you would have spoken about and John's spoken about, and where we actually become aware of ourselves through time.
Yeah, and we have to become aware, yes.
Yeah, and realize just we are multidimensional beings, and we, you know, and that we have had experiences at many different, what we perceive as times. But interesting story about time is that one of the, is a hypnotherapist up in Auckland that wrote a book called Hypnosis and the Higher Self. But in that book, he had a client, and he regressed this client back to her Atlantean times. And in that Atlantean times, she was being hypnotized. And so he ended up having a real-time conversation with the hypnotist in Atlantean time. So the freaking out this Atlantean hypnotist, because he was talking to somebody 12,000 years in the future. And later, when I got to know him, you know, personally, he said, well, you know who that hypnotist in the Atlantean times was? And he said, it was me. He said, I was talking to myself over 12,000 years of time in a real-time conversation through two different personalities. So in some respects, that gives you an idea that really everything is happening at the same time, because we have this conversation going on in real time over 12,000 years. So.
Yeah. And that takes quite a while for the average person to get their head around that everything is happening in the now.
Yeah.
You know? And yeah, that was the hardest thing for me in the early days to get my head around that everything is in the now. It's all now. And no matter where you are, what you're doing, you know, you're always where you're meant to be. That's like, you're there, I'm here. You're meant to be there, I'm meant to be here.
Yeah.
Your mind-wise, you're there. My mind-wise, I'm here. Our minds are where they're meant to be. Kerry's mind's where it's meant to be. And if our minds weren't where they were meant to be, we wouldn't be talking today. You know, and we wouldn't be enlightening others, or giving others courage to come out and enlighten others. Because that's my main goal. My main goal isn't enlightening or waking the sleeping people. My goal is to get the people waking to wake, and the people already awake to help wake the waking.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. Does make sense. Yeah.
And that's where I'm at. Yeah. You know, it's not about the sleeping. You're not. They're going to go next time.
Yeah.
They're not coming next time. That's just like.
Yeah, where you're meant to be, like you said.
Yeah.
We'll wrap it up there. I'd like to get you both on another time. Even you, Terry, would be cool just to have on about the other books and the other work you've done. But we might work out something to have you two back on together again. But I really appreciate you doing this. And I hope this has helped some of the viewers and listeners out there see another way of how things can be done. And you know, make of it what you may. This is just one of those things that you've got to, you know, make the decision on. I was very skeptical of hypnotherapy and that before I had it done. I was actually shitting myself. I didn't know what to think of it. And then a very similar experience to what you have when you have yours. And it's been a valuable tool. I've learned to be able to sort of connect with myself on other levels now, so I don't need it so as much. But I do find it a very powerful and helpful tool. So I just hope this helps people, you know, open up their mind and see another avenue. But anything you guys would like to say before we wrap it up?
No, I just hope that I can help people and help, you know.
You are, mate. You are.
If it resonates with you, take it. If it doesn't, throw it in the bin. Yeah. You know, that's all I can say.
And just to people that on a personal level, if the pathway is really through meditation.
And
because
through myself.
And that way you're connecting to your own awareness and inner awareness. You know, some people get messages through their dreams. intuitions and that's that other side of it, but it's really about connecting and believing that you can, and just allowing it to happen. And they, you know, there'll be opportunities for you to do that. And you don't have to go to a hypnotherapist or anybody like that. There's lots of meditation tracks around. You can download some of my tracks for 99¢. They'll allow you to connect to your own inner self and your own inner guides and your own inner teachers. And that's really what it's all about.
Fantastic. We'll wrap it up there. And again, thank you guys. There'll be links to your website and your books underneath and to John's Facebook page. So anybody wants to get in contact or do whatever, just go to those links. And again, thank you guys, and we'll wrap it up there.
Okay, thanks, Pete.
Thank you. Thanks.